Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I had to share some photos on social media, and I said, you know what did that? You know what built that? You know what's making that happen? Beautiful, clean coal. That's right. Say it with me now. Beautiful, clean coal. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Great to be with you here on this beautiful Thursday morning here. Look at the beautiful skies in Montana. You know, until the environmentalists kick off their big carbon-emitting fire season here, look at how beautiful the skies are right now, even in coal country, or shall I say especially in beautiful, clean, coal country. We've got these beautiful, clean skies out there here on this Thursday morning. But yeah, yesterday I got a chance to attend the groundbreaking ceremony. You know, a couple of days ago, or maybe it was Monday or Tuesday, we kicked off this show with a caller. We had open phones, just like we've got phone lines open right now. And we had a caller on the line the moment we kicked off the 8 o'clock hour. And so we just started the show with a caller. And it was great. Derek was his name. I got to meet Derek yesterday. He's on the board for the, I think it's the Yellowstone Ice Foundation. And he was telling everybody about the big groundbreaking ceremony. But yeah, yesterday they broke ground on the Signal Peak Energy Ice Arena. And we first told you about this Signal Peak Energy Ice Arena several months ago. Remember they had that big rally for coal in Roundup, Montana, and I was there for that and got a chance to see, you know, local officials, local business folks, meet some of the coal miners as well. And that's when Parker Phipps, the CEO for Signal Peak Energy, first told me. He said, hey, we're going to have some big news for you here in a little bit. We're going to build a hockey rink. We're going to build an indoor ice arena. And we're doing it thanks to beautiful, clean coal. And yesterday, that groundbreaking ceremony took place. And it was great to see Governor Greg Gianforte there, because I think the point needs to be made. And I had a little trouble. There were so many people there packed into the tent, and I was kind of hanging out, getting some sunshine. But I hope the point was made that the only reason you're getting this indoor ice arena, and the only reason a coal mine is able to give $6 million to make this thing a reality instead of just asking the taxpayers to pay for it like they always do, is because of that coal mine. But remember, that coal mine was on the brink of being forced to shut down during the Joe Biden-John Tester regime. And thanks to a move by Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, giving them the ability to continue mining coal here at the state level because the feds were trying to shut them down. That's why that mine was able to stay up and running. That's why that mine was able to pony up $6 million thanks to beautiful clean coal for a beautiful new indoor ice arena. And remember, it was just a few years ago, they were just trying to saddle the taxpayers with more of the costs for that. They always go around. Our friend Greg Franks from the Summit Cigar Lounge, he has a great line where he talks about, you know, here they come with their hat in their hand again, asking you to throw more cash in there. But boom, beautiful clean coal is what's making it happen. But that wouldn't have been able to happen if it wasn't for you, the people, we, the people of Montana, electing a Republican governor who kept that mine open in the first place. All right. Yeah, and I hope all these liberals at the Billings Chamber that are always trying to raise your taxes, who were there for the celebration, will join us in celebrating Republicans and coal.
It's May 8th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Coconut Cream Pie Day. Now, pie lovers everywhere might have their own special twist on the tasty treat, but any real coconut cream pie needs to have two things: a thick layer of whipped cream and a generous topping of toasted coconut bits. All you need after that is either a tall, cold glass of milk or a hot cup of coffee. Also on this date, in 1945, Germany unconditionally surrendered to the Allies in Berlin, ending World War II in Europe. The day would go on to be known as VE Day or Victory in Europe Day as celebrations erupted around the world. It would take roughly another 3 months for the Allies to defeat Japan and end World War II. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the king of Latin pop, singer-songwriter Enrique Iglesias. I can be your hero, baby. Born in 1975. I'm Tushar Saxena with your Fox Daily Snapshot. Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
From the van loads of illegals busted crossing the border near Shelby to the stabbing suspects in downtown Bozeman and an illegal alien being deported out of Billings, there is a pileup of illegal aliens in the Montana news. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got the full story, well, several stories, MontanaTalks.com. But I forgot one. There's one more I should have added in there. There was a big cocaine and meth bust in Bozeman. And, yep, illegal aliens, too. Some
big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
Hey, we got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970 for the first half of the show right now, and then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, open phones as well. Let's jump right into your calls. We got Mike in Big Timber first up. Talking about property tax relief. I had a question mark there because some might see relief, others not so much. Mike, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. Did you hear Patrick Barkey's Montana Economic Minute yesterday?
Oh, God. You know what? I didn't pay close attention. I should have. I was probably filling up my coffee cup during the break, and I should have listened a little more close. What did he say that stood out to you?
Well, this is something you might want to ask your guest that's coming on at 8:40. He seemed to think that since the state legislature is having difficulties trying to pass something definite on property tax relief, he said it should be left up to the local governments. And, of course, I heard you earlier mentioning you leave it up to the local governments. They'll go willy-nilly on you.
Oh, they'll spend, take, adjust a mill here, adjust a mill there. Before you know it, it's like, what? And that's why it's going to be really interesting to see when this so-called property tax relief takes effect. Are people going to actually see it? Because if the theory is, well, residential property taxpayers are going to get some significant relief, but ag's going to take a bit of a hit, some industrial might take a little bit of a hit, will people even see it at the end of the day? I mean, that's my question is like, okay, the state can come in and cut all the property taxes they want, but if at the end of the day the local city government and the county government can just make one little adjustment and wipe it all away anyway, will people even feel the relief? And so, yeah, it's kind of one of those if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it kind of things.
Right. And perhaps during a break you might want to listen to what he had to say. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but that's the inference I got when I listened to his Economic Minute, that it should be left to the local, local county and city governments to do the property tax assessments and, levies.
So well,
Perhaps you could ask your guest about
that. I'll go even more local than that. Well, first off, maybe I'll see if our producer, Caden, can grab yesterday's Economic Minute and throw it into our AI software, because then what I can do is I can read the transcript. So I'll see if I can give it a quick read during the next break. But I appreciate you flagging that. Mike, yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, I'll go even more local than that. If the idea is, well, let the locals decide what happens with property taxes. Well, what gets more local than we the people? I think we the people should come up with the property tax relief plan. And the we the people plan says stop taxing us based off of the value of our home. And tax us based off, you could have a home that's worth $1 million right now, but that doesn't mean you're a millionaire. That doesn't mean you paid $1 million for it. You could have, yet you're taxing people as if they're millionaires. It's just an insane system that we have in this state. All right, Mike, thanks for the call. And it's been that way for decades, by the way. Thanks for the call. Here's a guy who may have some answers for us. I think he called in on another topic, but either way, great to hear from Representative Jerry Schillinger in Circle. I think that's Jerry in Circle on the phone lines.
Well, good morning, Aaron. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great to hear from you. Welcome home after the legislative session. Holy cow.
You're not kidding. And actually, I had to wait to call. I wanted to call in earlier when David was on the line, too, because a few weeks ago I listened in while I was still in Helena, and he was giving the legislature heck about quite a few things, so I was just kind of anxious to visit with him and take some questions and some responses about that, too. But I kind of was waiting to switch with my son here. He got the sprayer going this morning, and I just took over here and spraying a little winter wheat right now. So it's great to be back home and actually doing some of the things that I have even more of a passion for.
Yeah, great to be back on the farm, getting some work done, and beautiful weather, of course, as well. Got some moisture, hopefully, earlier in the week, like some of us, and then getting some sunshine to help it grow, too. One of these days, it'd be great to just do a nothing but, let's just talk about only the good news from the legislative session, because it's so easy to just focus on the frustrating aspects of the legislative session and some of the infighting and, you know, handful of Republicans voting with the Democrats. But You first, though, you wanted to call in and say something about Signal Peak Energy. What was your comment going to be there?
Well, actually, and that's some good news. In this last session, we had a bill, and I forget who. I don't remember who brought it. It might have been Gary Perry. But anyway, Signal Peak has had a deduction on their taxes for, ever since their inception, I believe, because they have what they call a coal washing machine there, and it's a process that when that coal comes out of the ground, out of the tunnels, that, you know, there's a lot of garbage with it too. So they go through and clean it, and they call it coal washing, but really it's separating just a lot of stuff that isn't coal from the coal. So when they get done with that, it's just pure coal, and that they ship to Japan, I believe most of it goes to.
Yeah, that's where most of it goes.
So it makes it a more valuable, marketable product, and kind of like on the farm, when you haul anything but crop to town, that's called dockage. So that you don't get paid for that. That's just something you're wasting freight on, and so they're basically taking the dockage out of their coal, and so they send nothing but pure coal, so they get a better price for it.
So the tax incentive helps them with that cleaning process. Then is that what you're saying?
Well, it helps cover the cost some of it, and really, it's nothing more than like when I buy a new set of tires for my sprayer or.
Tell you what, hold that thought, Jerry Schindler. Hold that thought. I got to take a quick break, and we'll come back to you right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's hard for me to get the image out of my head of Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown to kick when people start talking about cutting spending in the federal government. You know the cartoon. Every time Charlie Brown runs at the football to kick it, Lucy pulls it away at the last minute, only to implore him to try again. And so we start again to talk about cutting things in government, only to find that spending continues to surge. It must be said, leaders in Washington, including the ones we send there from Montana, simply are not serious about cutting spending or raising taxes to manage deficits. There's been simply no downside for elected leaders to spending ever more borrowed money, to the point where today, in a full employment economy, government spends $1.8 trillion, or about 37% more money than it takes in taxes. But if leaders pay no attention to future generations or are saddled with that debt, there is one voice that gets their attention, and that is the bond market. The stunning rise in bond yields a few weeks ago following the tumult over tariffs reminds us of that fact. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Donald Trump's America.
Reports suggest President Trump will announce the U.S. will call the body of water, long named the Persian Gulf, as the Arabian Gulf or Gulf of Arabia when he visits Saudi Arabia next week.
They're going to ask me about that when I get there, and I'll have to make a decision.
Arab nations have long sought the name change. Iran has protested, citing its historic ties to the Gulf off its southern coast.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't know if feelings are going to be hurt. Why have a case right over here? It's called Gulf of America. And I guess a lot of people get ideas from us.
An executive order directs federal agencies to replace Gulf of Mexico with Gulf of America. The name Persian Gulf has been used since the 16th century. The Google Maps has used both names, and the U.S. military has unilaterally referred to the Persian Gulf as the Arabian Gulf. Any change by President Trump would apply only to the U.S. and not other countries or international organizations. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I'm going to get back to Jerry in the Circle. Then we got James near Glacier Park, Jim in Livingston, and phone lines open for you as well, 406-294-0970. Back to Representative Jerry Schillinger in Circle. Jerry, I was also thinking during the break there, since I got some other callers to get to, I'm sure you got a whole host of things you would be great at sounding off on this morning. If you want to also call back later on in the 9 o'clock hour, we could kick off the 9 o'clock hour with you as well. But back to the Signal Peak Energy deal here. So not only did the governor make some moves to keep the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup up and running, but the state legislature also made some moves as well. And I just think it's an important reminder to you know, all of these liberals in Billings, that have so much power in the city limits. You know, the county as a whole is very conservative, but yet the city is still, unfortunately, too liberal. And they're always trying to raise people's taxes and always trying to spend people's money. And thanks to beautifully clean coal, they're getting a new ice arena. But again, it's... they need to be thanking not just beautiful, clean coal. They need to be thanking Republicans, because we know the Democrats would shut these things down in a heartbeat.
I'm up.
Yeah, we got you. Yeah, your thoughts, Jerry. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, great. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, and just to get back to that, the Signal Peak bill that I was talking about, it was simply a bill to allow them to continue to expense and treat as an expense, a deduction, if you will, the cost of washing that coal that makes it more valuable. And the coal severance tax then that the state collects, which everyone loves to spend, even the people that hate coal, reaps more benefit that way too. So anyway, it was a battle. Actually, it came right down to the last hearing we were having in executive action in the Appropriations Committee. But that was about to die, and they were going to lose that deduction and possibly lose the incentive to wash that coal or clean that coal. And finally, we got it through people's heads that it was no different than if you replace the tires on your tractor or any other expense. It should be something they should be allowed to deduct.
Treated just like any other business expense. Yeah, makes sense.
And so fortunately that bill ended up passing, and should be somewhere in the governor's staff there, I would think. And so rather than having to come up every, I think it's, I don't know, it was every number of years it had to be renewed, that will actually be permanent now too, so
that's
we won't
great.
Have to fight that battle again. But that, that just goes right into the property tax, debate and a lot of that. It all ties together. And, I'd be glad to visit about more anytime you want to do that, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to call back in during the 9 o'clock hour, please do. Especially cause I know there's a whole host of other topics that you could weigh in on. So Jerry Schillinger, thanks so much for calling in here in the 8 o'clock hour of Montana Talks, 406-294-0970. Let's go next to James near Glacier Park. James, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you for taking mine. You're all well this morning. So I'm calling in the hopes that you guys can help me out with something, because I don't quite have the voice or reach you do. I'm hoping you can hear me. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you. And thankfully, you've got the same reach that I've got, because you're being heard statewide right now. So, yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. So this is a message directly to veterans affairs in our government, and being a veteran, this is an important issue to me. I'm a mental health counselor, and I'm pretty rural. Serve county and several neighboring counties. We're about 40% veterans up here, according to the last Montana published census by our state department here in Montana. I'm getting frustrated with my efforts to try and support this population and their families, too, to be credentialed, which means I can actually, I'm good enough to work for the VA contractually to see veterans who otherwise wouldn't get help through the community care network. So it's been 5 months now. I've been trying to get credentialed, and I keep getting the same answers, the same runaround. And the same thing happened to me. It took 6.5 months to get credentialed with TRICARE, TriWest Network. I'm in good standing, nationally certified mental health counselor. I don't understand the malaise. I don't understand the delays. And I'm not talking about the good, helpful employees from the VA, of which there are many. However, there are more lackadaisical, perfunctory-minded people who do nothing.
It's just the bureaucracy. Yeah, yeah. No, that's, I'll tell you what, this is very interesting, and I wish we had more time, because this is something, yeah, I want to hear a lot more about this. Here's what I'm thinking, James, because, yeah, you're a fellow veteran. Thanks for your service. Now you're a mental health counselor working to serve your fellow veterans, and look at the bureaucracy that you're encountering, trying to, you know, be a part of the community care network. Now, President Trump did incredible things in his first term to boost community care for veterans and veterans' choice. And then, of course, the Biden tester regime came in, and they started undermining veterans' choice and the Mission Act and everything else. And so Trump's got a big mess to clean up once again now in the VA through that bureaucracy. What I'm wondering, James, can you send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or can you send me an email? Because what I would like to do, I'd like to get your message in front of our congressional delegation to get this on their radar, for one, but two, to see if there's something they can do to assist, because I know, you know, Senator Tim Sheehy is on the Veterans Affairs Committee right now, and I know this is something that he's going to want to, you know, be the breaching element on, and you know, kick in the door on this one, and maybe call in a guy with some other breaching things to get that door busted down, because it's absurd. It reminds me, we have a great Vietnam veteran that lives in the Polson area, and he was trying to be a volunteer DAV driver. And you wouldn't believe the crazy bureaucratic hoops he had to jump through just to drive a van to Helena. I mean, it was so stupid, and they were struggling for volunteers, and yet they were putting these people through a bureaucratic nightmare just to simply be a volunteer driver to drive a van. And then now here you've got the VA is short on mental health counselors. The whole country is short on mental health counselors. And now you've got a fellow vet who's a mental health counselor, and apparently it's a big bureaucratic process. It's just crazy. So thanks for the call. Send me an email, aaron@montanatalks.com, or send us a message on the Montana Talks app. I'd love to try to help run this down for you. Jim in Livingston next up on the phone lines. Jim, sorry for the wait. What's going on?
I just had a question on the property tax bill. I own two houses. My daughter lives in one. Her husband left her. So I bought another house. So is what I'm understanding is I'm going to have to pay additional property tax on my house when my family's living in. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, so as I understand it, so you're the owner of both houses, right? Your daughter's living in one house. You're living in your main house, right? Is that correct?
Because I'm the only one that could actually get a loan to do that. She's busting her butt trying to make a living, and she can't afford a loan for a house.
Now, yeah, this is a good question. My assumption here, and I would check, maybe call one of your local legislators or Department of Revenue here, but yeah, I mean, the way that this whole property tax plan shook out is they were trying to figure out a way to deliver residential property tax to Montanans and make the out-of-staters pay more. But you can't just, you know, according to the law, say, well, out-of-staters have to pay more. So they thought, well, if we just
increase the taxes on second homes, on second if we lower taxes for the primary residence and then raise them on the second residence, that would be a way to do that through another means, right? What I wonder, though, is I wonder if in your situation, because, yeah, your daughter's living in this house, you're living in your house, I wonder if there's a way, I don't know if you could refinance it and then you be the co-signer for the loan, but it's now her primary residence and she's technically the one paying property taxes, and then maybe that's how you could get the lower property tax on that second home way. I'm just throwing things out there. I don't know.
That could be a fix. There's a couple of fixes. I mean, if she gets a loan, it's going to be at 7.5%. Mine's a hell of a lot lower than that. Why would we want to do that? That's not even washing it out. The only other thing I could probably do is just leave my wife and move into my daughter's house and claim she's there, right? Because my wife could only get a house then. Is that right?
I wouldn't recommend that. Well, I mean, you know, on paper, you know, I mean, you're still together, but, you know, technically, I mean, you know, I mean, that's the thing. We have so many things built into our legal system that basically punish people for being married. And what's a major problem in this country right now? Not enough people getting married, not enough people having kids, and then the societal breakdown from people not being able to stay married. But yeah, look at all these marriage penalties we have built into the law. Student loans. You want your kid to get a Pell Grant or a student loan? I mean, you know, they will punish you for being married. They will punish your kid for working while in high school. It's just such a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, my other kids paid their loans back, so I'm a little bit disturbed about loan forgiveness on these people that borrowed money from the feds. I'm retired military and retired from the state. And, you know, back to James's comment, too, about the veterans thing. I used to volunteer to drive the van, and they put you through a big wash, and I just had to quit doing it because of that kind of stuff. And I really enjoyed doing it, but I'm not going to up with that stuff. And they were just so demanding on what you were doing. I was like, this is crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's like you got people that are volunteering to serve their fellow veterans. Why do you got to make it so stinking hard? Yeah, the guy from Polson, great guy, you know, he got the stupid jab. He's like, you know, they were forcing volunteer drivers to get the stupid jab. Then they forced them to wear masks. And so a lot of guys were like, nope, I ain't doing that. I'm not risking my heart health, risking my life just to drive to Helena. And so they didn't have any volunteers. And so he said, well, I got the stupid jab, so I'll volunteer. And they made it such a pain in the you-know-what that he's like, what? I guess they don't need people to do this. Absolutely insane, that bureaucracy. Hey, well, thanks for your service as well, Jim. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. We've got Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen up next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me sneak in one more caller here before we get to our next guest, Pam in Flathead County. Pam, thanks for the call. Sounds like you may have an answer for our last caller.
Yeah, thanks for getting me on so quick, Aaron. Appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, he was talking about his second home renting it to his, I'm assuming he rents it to his daughter. HB 231... from the beginning, had a caveat in there that if you're a long-term rental, you would get a lower rate. Now, it's not as low as the homestead one, you know, the home-ownered one, the one he'd get on his house that he's living in, but it's definitely lower than the other rate. So if you can just show that that's a long-term rental, if they still do that in the bill, because the bill got amended several times, but I think it's still in there.
You know what? Yeah, that's right. You know what? Thanks for reminding me, because I'm pretty sure that's spot on, and I think that did clear the final package. One of these other legislators would be able to tell us. But, yeah, that's right. Thanks for the reminder, because a second home is going to have a higher rate, probably a significantly higher rate. But I know they did have something for long-term rentals to try to keep that down as well, because they didn't want, you know, because obviously if you raise the property taxes on a long-term rental, well, they end up passing that along to the renter, and then now the renter gets hit with higher rent. So, and I think I recognize the voice. This is County Commissioner Pam Holmquist, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That is correct.
All right. Well, good. So I say that because, yeah, you've got credibility, because you got to look at this stuff from a county perspective. So yeah, great insight. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had more time. I really would like to have more time to talk about property taxes and the stuff going through, but we'll get to do that another day. I have meetings I got to get into, but I'd love to have that opportunity.
Hey, let's do it. Yeah, we can shoot us an email. We can schedule it. Or it sounds like you got a meeting in the 9 o'clock hour. I was going to say, just like Jerry Schillinger, if you want to call back and chat more in the 9 o'clock hour, you're welcome as well.
Yeah, I got meetings all morning, unfortunately. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much for calling in. That's great. Flathead County Commissioner Pam Holmquist with some good insight there. All right. Now we've got Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen with us on the phone lines. Jennifer, thanks so much for calling in this morning. I saw this headline in the Billings Gazette. Billings to follow state mandate to override mill levy limit imposed by local voters. And my initial reaction to seeing that story was like, oh, yeah, I see how they're spinning this. The city of Billings is saying, okay, the state of Montana is going to give our people property tax relief, but we're going to take it from them anyway. We're going to just simply raise their taxes. But we're going to spin it and make it look like the state forced us to do this, when they were the ones who went to the state and asked the state to bust a cap on their own taxpayers. Am I reading that right?
Well, there's a little more nuance, and I hate to be in a position of arguing nuance because that never sounds truthful. By the way, thanks for having me on this morning. But I think maybe let's try to talk about a couple of things that are certain and then get into sort of the complexity. No matter what the city does for fiscal year 26, the upcoming tax year that begins in July, people in Billings will have tax relief. So whether the city follows state law or chooses not to follow state law, people in Billings will see a reduction in their primary residence property tax relief. There's not a mechanism by which the city could impose a tax that takes it all away. So tax relief no matter what. And budget cuts.
So they would take a slice away. They would take their city slice away, but you'd still get your state portion and some other portion of the residential property tax relief. Okay.
The state portion is certain, right? We don't know what the county and the school district will choose to do. They have more flexibility to raise taxes. But the state portion is certain. That's in law now. So there will be tax relief in Billings no matter what. And there will be budget cuts no matter what. Even if the city chooses to follow the new state law, we still need to cut about $2.3 million out of the general fund budget. So there's going to be some cuts, and there's going to be some property tax relief. And then the question that city council is faced with now is, do we follow the new language in state law, which is in fact a directive? It is a mandate. It is you must levy for fiscal year 26, the year that begins July 1, the same number of mills necessary to generate the revenue generated in fiscal year 25. It's a mandate. Now, to your point, Aaron, as to whether or not this was sort of the city creating this outcome, I think there's some truth to it, unfortunately. I think before the full council was aware, it's no surprise to anybody, we have a very pro-tax mayor currently, and we have a very pro-tax city administrator currently. And there were conversations where they were advocating for provisions that were not supported by council. And in fact, when I heard about it, when others heard about it, we forced a vote. And council voted 9-1 to support and protect the mill levy limits established by the citizens here in Billings. We did not take a position against property tax. That's untrue. The city has been very clear that we supported, along with a number of our good conservative legislators in the Senate, SB 90. It's not a great fix, but it would have provided property tax relief and allowed the state to do some more thoughtful reform. There's never been opposition to property tax relief. There is, for many of us, a deep commitment to protecting our charter cap. And now we have this provision, and we have to figure out how to handle it.
And this is so in this state mandate, as I understand it, they're not just calling for a short-term temporary break of the charter cap, which blocks the city from raising taxes on their taxpayers, according to their city charter. They're calling for basically a permanent break on that cap. That was kind of point one. And then point two, some people might be saying, wait a minute, why does the city get to choose whether or not to follow state law? I know you're an attorney. Right. You're an attorney, and so the city charter, which is basically like the city constitution, says, no, you can't raise taxes without going to the people and asking their permission. But if the state comes in and says, no, you've got to break your own city charter, What's the legal argument there?
Yeah, great question. So let's talk about the first one first. Is this permanent or temporary? I am very serious about ensuring that we follow, if we're going to follow state law, we need to follow it to the letter. And the state law right now, the one that we expect to be signed by the governor at least, says that the city of Billings shall, well, it says charter cap imposed, so there's two of us, Billings and Sunburst. Those communities must levy the amount necessary without amending their charter. So I think as a legal matter, the 74 mil cap that is here in Billings on the general fund needs to remain in place. The voter-imposed limitations on public safety, library, transit, those things that the people have authorized us to do need to remain intact. And then we need to have a separate levy that is, in fact, the state-mandated levy that's very clear to taxpayers where this is coming from, and that it is not going in to amend the limitations that they have placed on their own government. So it is not permanent, in fact. It is a little of both. It is a directive for the first fiscal year 26. We shall levy. There's no discretion there. In subsequent tax years, it's a may. So it is permanent in the sense that the legislature has sort of attempted to give the city of Billings an authority that could last in perpetuity, but it becomes permissive after the first year. So I think it shows elections really matter.
Yeah.
We need to have fiscally constrained council members who understand and respect the Billings taxpayer in this upcoming election this November.
Well, I think the city of Billings, you know, Yellowstone County is one of the most conservative counties in the state. Just look at last November's election results. Yet the city of Billings has been held back, I think, by too much left-leaning leadership, city council, city government, even the city chamber. And, that's why it's such great news that a powerhouse like you is going to run for the mayor of the largest city in Montana. Because the bigger picture is we have to rebuild our business and industrial base in Montana,
right,
so that residential property taxpayers aren't pulling so much of the foot of the bill of this thing. And Billings needs a more pro-business attitude on that front.
100%. It is why I think, and you've heard this on your show, there's a lot of conflicting feelings about these property tax bills. They do provide for primary residences some property tax relief, but much of that shifts the burden. And it will feel that shift right here in Billings. The refineries will feel it. Our energy producers will feel it. We're going to see it in rising energy bills. So we're not done yet with making property tax better. Billings needs to be a constructive voice at the table, not trying to do these end runs that we saw happening before some of us stepped in and said, enough, we're going to do this in the light of day. But the bottom line, Aaron, is, as you said earlier, we now have to decide, do we follow state law or not? And that's a terrible position to be in, right? The state law that we expect to be signed is clear. The city council must levy these dollars. I want them kept separate. I want them to be very transparent to the taxpayer. And I want us to look at continuing to reduce the burden on Billings taxpayers in the coming years when this converts to permissive. There are legal arguments that the state has overreached here. And I think those are worth exploring. We are exploring those. I know many people are exploring those.
Interesting. So maybe even a legal challenge if the city council decided to do that. All right. Jennifer Owen, if you can, hold that thought. I got to take a hard break here. But if you can, stick around and join us through the remainder of the hour. I'd love to get your take on this good news about the Signal Peak Energy Ice Arena. I saw you at the groundbreaking yesterday as well.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The amount of lawsuits, this is where the Democratic resistance is getting worse and worse daily. You got all these activists, legal groups, elected officials, local jurisdictions now. We now have the full number. It was on Fox News Digital. More than 150 lawsuits against the Trump administration since January 20th, in response to more than 90 executive orders, as well as executive proclamations and memos. And the president has long been a legal target, which hit a fever pitch during the 2024 election cycle when Trump faced four criminal indictments. All of this is designed to stop and usurp the constitutional authority of a president.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless that comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pulino. A new sneak peek from Lifetime's upcoming documentary, The Judd Family, Truth Be Told, highlights Naomi Judd's songwriting passion and unveils a never-released song recorded by the mother-daughter duo in 1982. The clip shows Ashley Judd and Larry Strickland, Naomi's widower, discovering old cassette tapes containing early recordings. On one tape, Naomi introduces herself and Winona before performing. Winona, hearing the recording, remarks on the purity of their early sound and joins in. The Judd Family, Truth Be Told, premieres Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Lifetime. The Academy of Country Music Awards air live on Prime Video Thursday and will be available to stream anytime. Reba McEntire returns as host, marking her 18th time leading the show. Ella Langley, Kelsey Ballerini, Chris Stapleton, and Zach Topp are among the performances. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got to have some fun with this before we run out of time here, before I jump back into it here with the city council member Jennifer Owen. You know, you hear people talking about, well, what about my second home? And I've been saying, you know what, hey, I guess I'm kind of lucky now. I don't have a second home. So I'll benefit from the residential property tax relief. But then I'm like, wait a minute, I do have a second home. Now, thankfully, it's not subject to the property taxes, but no, I've got a camper. I've got my own travel trailer. I've got my own camper, and that is my home away from home. Man, and the beauty of having your own camper is you can have a different backyard every single weekend. You might be on the Kootenai River one weekend. You might be out in, I'm not even going to name all the cool places you can be with your camper, because I don't want to give away all the good spots. But the point being is that that's what I love about having a family camper. It's your home away from home. You got all your stuff already loaded into it. Man, it's just so cool. And you can have a different backyard every weekend. I'll tell you what, if you don't have a family camper or a family boat, you got to stop in at Brett's RV and Marine. Family owned and operated. They've got the largest selection of RVs and boats in five states. They've got a great team. The Brett's family, I know them. They're just great people. And so check out Brett's RV and Marine. They've got a relatively new location in Butte now. And then, of course, they're in Billings and Missoula. And you can check out their inventory and more at brettsrv.com. All right. I know we're short on time here, but, Billings City Council member Jennifer Owen, I got to see you at the Signal Peak Energy Ice Arena groundbreaking yesterday. Beautiful, clean coal made this beautiful thing happen, right?
Amazing, right? What an incredible investment in our community. And again, such a perfect example of why government doesn't need to go first. The city wanted to go out with this disastrous parks bond, raising taxes on everybody, to do something that wouldn't have been nearly as beautiful as what the Yellowstone Ice Foundation, Signal Peak Energy, Collaborative Design Architects, they just came together as private sector, business-minded, want to do what's right for the community and make it make sense. And they have far exceeded expectations, and what a gift to our amazing community.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head here. That's why I think Billings needs new leadership across the board, not just you running for mayor, but, you know, There's other entities and organizations. I think we got a great new leader at the EDA with Paul Green. It's going to be exciting to see something. But just this idea that stop going with your hat in your hand to the taxpayers for everything and start supporting businesses and business entrepreneurial activities like this coal mine that actually generate revenue so the people don't have to pay more.
That's exactly right. And you look at what Parker Fitz and his team have done to drive business principles into the construction of this. They are building this ice facility, climate-controlled interior, two sheets of ice, at about $150 a square foot. That is unbelievable. It's truly, genuinely what a public-private partnership should look like. The city is doing its part. We're going to put in the water pipes. We're going to put in the parking lots. We're going to do our infrastructure piece to catalyze private investment and look at the private sector rally to do what's right and what pencils out for the bottom line.
This is why we get to have nice things, right? Because of coal mines, refineries, railroads. Exactly. And it's why we got to make our timber industry great again. It's why we got to make mining in America great again, all the above.
And that's their motivation, right? Yes, of course, it's a community benefit, and they are ice fanatics, and they love it. But they want to recruit miners. They want to grow the investment in our natural resources. They want to bring those high-paying jobs to southeastern Montana, and they look at this as a recruitment tool. What an amazing meeting of mutual benefit.
I'll tell you, it's a good thing a fight didn't break out yesterday. A bunch of coal miners and hockey players all under one tent. That would have been a sight to see. I was like, man, if somebody throws a punch here, you better just start running. There was some
tough. How cool to see all the little kids there playing and seeing their future unfold and the hope and the optimism that, again, our partners are bringing to this community just because it makes sense.
That's right. And the girls girls just recently won state for hockey, we were told yesterday as well. So pretty cool all around. Jennifer Owen, great to have you on the show as always. She's running for mayor. Check out the report at MontanaTalks.com. Open phones in the 9 o'clock hour next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's hard for me to get the image out of my head of Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown to kick when people start talking about cutting spending in the federal government. You know the cartoon. Every time Charlie Brown runs at the football to kick it, Lucy pulls it away at the last minute, only to implore him to try again. And so we start again to talk about cutting things in government, only to find that spending continues to surge. It must be said, leaders in Washington, including the ones we send there from Montana, simply are not serious about cutting spending or raising taxes to manage deficits. Simply no downside for elected leaders to spending ever more borrowed money, to the point where today, in a full employment economy, government spends $1.8 trillion, or about 37% more money than it takes in taxes. But if leaders pay no attention to future generations or are saddled with that debt, there is one voice that gets their attention, and that is the bond market. The stunning rise in bond yields a few weeks ago following the tumult over tariffs reminds us of that fact. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.